Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctegal.
And I am Donna Prisgintas.
Here we are in the studios of KHOI Community Radio, downtown Ames. We get together here every Tuesday at noon, live, without a net. Yes, we talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. And thanks for joining us today. We're going to find out what's cooking here in central Iowa. This is community radio, and we get by with a little help from our friends. The Donalana Kitchen is sponsored in part by Practical Farmers of Iowa, a member-based, farmer-led, nonprofit organization that's been strengthening farms and communities through farmer-led investigations and information sharing since 1985. You can find out more about them at their website, practicalfarmers.org. Yes, and thanks.
Ooh.
Thanks for having them on
Thank
board
you,
here.
Thank you, Lana.
Yeah, we get, like I said, we get by with a little help from our friends. But we are, guess what, folks? We are all volunteers here. You bet. So we are your friends and neighbors talking at you over the airwaves.
Live,
yeah. There it was. As we're sliding into fall here with some real chilly weather and, boy, even a few snow flurries a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no wonder our throats are like graveling up here.
Yeah, and we're kind of on the horizon. The holidays are coming up. Don't panic yet, folks, but they're coming up and it's time to
get
think
ready.
About things. Think about things with gathering with people and the ho-ho-hos and gobble-gobble-gobble and that kind of thing. They're coming up. Holidays coming up already? Oh, boy.
Well, we got Halloween behind us.
Oh, that's true. I'm going to find
Thanksgiving right around the corner.
Yeah.
And there we go.
Right.
It's a slide all the way through the end of the year.
Well, it's good to have holidays to look at because it's getting kind of gray and gloomy outside.
Absolutely.
I'd like the sunshine to show up one of these days.
And Lana and I will be right there with you all with recipe suggestions and celebratory notes and ho, ho, ho.
There you go. So today we're going to talk about some of these things that we can do for the holidays, but also do for the whole year. We're going to talk specifically about corn.
Yes, it's a corny show today.
And here we are. Corn.
Not that we're not usually kind of corny. That's our MO.
Yeah, but corn, since we're kind of right in the middle of Iowa and right in the middle of corn, most of that stuff is harvested now.
It's a thing around here.
It's a thing. But corn is a big part of what we eat. And it's not just like eating sweet corn. We kind of go through that glut. Yes, we enjoy that. And yes, there's corn that you can get out of a can, corn that you can get out of the freezer. But corn makes up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's the corn you see and the corn you don't. And I am going to be making a few quotes today from a really, really good book. It was the Julia Child Cookbook Award winner from the 90s, I believe, The Story of Corn by Betty Fussell. So according to Betty, edible corn for humans, whether fresh, canned, frozen, or in the form of cornmeal, makes up less than 1% of the American corn market.
Oh.
Well, living in the middle of Iowa, as you know, any country drive will be corn on the left, soy on the right, corn on the right, soy. Anyway, it's corn and soybeans. And this time of year, for anyone who's listening outside of Iowa, it looks kind of like a slash and burn economy. All of the fields have been mowed down. A lot of them plowed up, which leaves the soil uncovered for erosion. It looks pretty ghastly.
If you look hard, though, every now and then, as you drive by, some farmer has decided to put in some cover crops. So there's a little bit of green coming. But it's kind of few and far between. Generally, we have got our corn in the bins.
Yeah, and you know, in the summer when you're driving around, it does look gorgeous, I have to say, that, you know, even though, of course, we don't love monocropping, and corn is a grass. So, naturally, our prairie soil has been very suitable for growing lots of corn. So in the summertime, it's green everywhere. And if you didn't have some qualms, as Lana and I do, about industrial agriculture, it does look gorgeous. But this time of year, it is not so pretty until, of course, the snow comes. Then it's all covered up, and it's really, we'll see if we get much snow this year. But so human consumption makes up less than 1% of all of that corn.
Ooh.
But nevertheless, that adds up to 3 pounds of corn per person per day.
Oh, come now. I don't eat that much corn, do I?
Well, you are, and you just don't notice it.
Okay.
Because it looks like hamburger, pork, chicken, eggs. You know, a lot of the corn goes for, not a lot of it, but I mean, it's such a vast industry, we can't even imagine. A significant amount of the food part being ingested by humans is put through animals as animal feed, because we all don't eat, you know, you might eat some corn flakes, you might have cornbread occasionally, things like that. So we don't think about eating so much corn, except for, of course, sweet corn, which we all love. But that's only a tiny, tiny mm-hmm. season of the year. And then after that, of course, corn goes into plastics, fertilizers, ethanol.
Yeah.
As we know, Lana has an ethanol story for us.
Yeah, we'll find that. We'll find out about that later.
Yeah.
And all those sweeteners, and we all like our sweets.
Oh yes.
So that's
corn
where
sweetener.
A whole lot of those that corn goes. So I guess I'm not a big slurpy sort of person, but some folks are. So you're helping the corn economy along there. Yes, you are.
Yes, and the corn economy isn't too happy right now.
Ah. Well, but we keep ingesting all kinds of it. What happened?
Overproduction.
Oh, dear.
You know, I mean, of course, if you're a farmer and the price drops, what are you going to do? Plant more corn, because you've got your payments. You got to pay your mortgage on your land or your equipment or something. So we're in a downward race here. So I do want to say I got some statistics out of the Des Moines Register recently. There was a quote from Kathleen Dellett, who is Dr. Dellett is at ISU, and she is the organic person in the ag department, the only one. But she was quoted as saying, you know, we are getting more organic acreage of row crops here in Iowa, finally. And this is my personal guess. But I think it's because we've had low corn prices for so long. So let me tell you the price differential and why someone, other than the fact that they could build their soil and protect their land and have, you know, different soil quality by growing organically. The price for organic corn is $8.70 per bushel versus $3 for conventional. Big price incentive. And on soybeans, the organic price is $19 a bushel versus $9 for conventional. So some farmers are making the switch to organic. It does take 3 years of certification, which means you have to really stop using the conventional chemicals and wait for 3 years while you transition. And it can be the land as it's transitioning before it kind of takes a while once you get off of the chemicals for the land to respond to the biological activities of natural fertilizers and those kinds of things. So sometimes you will get a what's called a yield drag. You will get a smaller yield with your organic corn. However, the studies have shown, and I think Kathleen Dellett has participated in these, but there's particularly been a lot of research at the Rodale Institute, that over the long run, like say 10 years and more, organic can actually out-yield conventional corn. I mean, you have to be committed to the long run, but what you're doing is you're actually building your soil quality, so you will get better. And particularly in drought situations, organic corn will tend to have a little advantage there. So for those of you who are sitting on the fence, you know, you might want to contact ISU about, or the Iowa Organic Association, or Practical Farmers of Iowa. All of those organizations, Oh, yeah, and Extension. I know that there are some people in Extension who have a lot of experience with growing organic crops and how to transition, because the price is definitely makes it worth it. And I was reading that the estimation, of course, it, eventually if we have, because the organic market is growing a lot and has done so for the last 20 years, it's pretty reliable. The demand is just there. Mm-hmm. So people are wondering, okay, if I switch to organic, how long will this price premium hold? And according to, you know, I mean, of course, this is reading into the crystal ball, but people seem to think that it will hold for another 15 or 20 years just because of the way the market has worked. So it's a good time to get into the organic market, mm-hmm. grow that corn organically, mm-hmm. use those cover crops.
Yeah.
It'll look a lot prettier if we all had a little green sprouting up now.
That's a reason to do anything. I always like to do things because it's pretty. You mentioned good for the soil. That's one reason
to
do it.
Not only that, it's good for water quality.
Well, and water
which
quality.
We all know in Iowa is a big deal.
We can use some work on that, folks.
Yeah.
And also talk to people that farmers are making decisions, but as consumers we can make decisions too. Because it's not just the soil and the water that is going to be a little healthier because of healthier practices, but we just may be healthier too. Heaven knows. I ran across an interesting article here. It's called 16 Health Problems That Improved in Patients Who Switched from GMO to Organic Diets. Now, GMO, that affects corn a lot.
That means all of the conventional corn.
Yeah.
That is the biggest.
Yeah.
The corn in our diet, the genetically modified corn in our diet, is probably our most ubiquitous source of genetically modified foods.
Right. And the idea
soy
of,
also, but yeah. corn really
so
is a lot of it.
So we're screwing around with this corn. And it, yeah, it makes, well, makes those corn plants grow really good. And but one of the things about it is that it is made to withstand Roundup. And that kind of stuff is kind of nasty for us. And also, GMO corn produces a toxin that affects our gut. And it can damage DNA. The genetic modification itself damages DNA. It can add allergens, toxins, and anti-nutrients to food. Well, that's important because we eat food, and we eat lots of stuff in a lot of different ways. This article is by a man called Jeffrey M. Smith, and he's written a lot of things about the food.
Lana has been his dance partner.
Oh,
we know this guy.
He's a great dancer, too. But besides that, I found this on Alternet, and if you want to find out more about it, it's Jeffrey M. Smith, Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, M as in M, Smith as in Smith.
It's a peer-reviewed study and was published the Journal of Human Nutrition and Functional Medicine, mm-hmm. the international journal. So this is a a well-vetted study.
Right. They were asking the question, well, why if just changing diet, just don't eat GMOs, okay? Eat healthy. Okay, things improved. And they looked at about 4,000 people here. So they studied this.
Right. This is a decent piece of research. It's not some lunatic fringe piece. So
yeah. So digestive issues, fatigue, overweight, food allergies, memory, joint pain. Oh, it covers the whole gamut here. But this
of course
is
we
good.
All have all of these things.
Yeah. I'm all for healthy things. But this is GMOs relate to corn. So this is an article by Jeffrey M. Smith. He has also written a book called The Seeds of Deception and another one called Genetic Roulette, and those are available through Chelsea Green Publishing. Interesting reading. Not exactly your light sort of humor magazine, humor copy, but it's worth knowing about this stuff. So what else can you tell us about corn, Donna?
Well, one thing I want to remind everybody, this is something delightful about Ames that I try to appreciate. In our post office, the downtown post office, the lovely old building that we have, there is a mural, a very large mural.
A WPA mural.
Yeah.
Get this, folks. Way back in our history, they used to, like, pay artists to do this kind of thing. Oh, and it's lovely.
Shocking. Yeah. So I want everybody, when you're going to the post office, to just, you know, you're standing in the line, kind of take an inadvertent glance up to your right, because it's high up, and it is a mural of a kind of a 1930s farmer on one side and some kind of Incan Aztec South American guy on the other side, and they are both planting corn. And it is it's a beautiful work of art. Really, we are so lucky to have that here.
Yes.
I wish I knew more about the artist who did that. Or do you know anything about it?
No, I don't. They probably have got that stuck away in a little plaque in there, and I've never thought to ask. But yes, any civilization, any bunch of people, we tell ourselves stories. And corn has been so important in the Americas. The beginning stories, the creation stories, it comes from corn. I mean, in the Judeo-Christian tradition, there's stories of farming and taking care of sheep and growing things and wheat, separating the wheats from the tares and all that kind of. There's food analogies there too, but America, well, we're
because corn came
started.
From the Americas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And now it's all over the world, like a lot of other American things.
The importance of the corn gods that got us all started. That's something to think about.
Yes, and the original corn, according to some historical researchers, was a tiny little thing called teosinte, which was like the size of your thumb.
Huh.
So through selection, you know, people, I mean, early, thousands of years ago, being, you know, oh, this one's a little bigger, let's plant this, and other qualities besides size, you know, there was the... there are now different kinds of corn, the dent corn, there's sweet corn, dent corn.
Hominy?
Now, hominy.
That's corn.
Yeah, but it is corn, but it's not a kind of corn.
Yeah.
Or it is a kind of corn that has been processed or, now here we go again. I think we talked about this last word. This is the word that does not just fall off my tongue. Nixtamalized or something like that. It's a process where the... wood ash or lye or some kind of alkaline, right, has been mixed with the corn and then the outer coating is slaked off. So like in corn masa and hominy, this is a processed corn. And apparently it was discovered very, very early that by nixtamalizing the corn, you actually enhance its nutritional quality as well.
So the early native peoples of the Americas figured that out.
Those corn tortillas that you're eating, that's all been nixtamalized.
A long time ago, figured this out already, which is good because it makes the corn extremely much more nutritious. We can't use all of the vitamins and minerals in the corn. It makes it more available to us,
yes,
as I understand.
It does. Huh. And it's yummy. Yummy besides.
Very good. Yes. I have a question. With the holidays coming up, I have a question about escalloped corn. It was kind of part of my remembering my mother bringing out this lovely bubbling dish with a little warm crusty bits on top, and I always liked the sweet corn or the corn done that way. And I haven't made it for years because when I made it, well, it was way before I met you, Donna, so I'm much better in the kitchen now. But I tried to make it, and it just ended up kind of corn swimming around in milk. That's not good.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So tell us just a few words about how you get that corn all kind of casserole-ish.
I am going to rely on the joy of cooking for that because, of course, that's kind of the Bible of cooking, of American cooking anyway. So their recipe is you combine 2 cups of uncooked corn, scraped or cut from the ear. I suppose just frozen would do also. 2 beaten eggs, some salt. She puts in possibly 1/4 cup of minced seeded green peppers with the membranes removed or olives. Now, we didn't use olives. And we didn't use green peppers. No. But here's what she cooks it in. 3/4 cup of cream.
Oh, so the cream and the eggs.
The cream and the eggs. Forget the milk, Lonnie. It's the cream. And then she puts it in a baking dish, like for a souffle, and sprinkles it with probably breadcrumbs and the like, and then just bakes it in the oven.
Oh.
So cream, not milk.
Cream. Well, you don't have to twist my arm too much to get me to use cream, so I'll do that. I do like scalloped corn. It's just such a nice comfort
food. That would make a nice, for the one of the upcoming holidays anyway.
It's just one of those nice side dishes. Yeah, we're talking about getting together for the holidays, gathering around a table, and getting together with people we love and maybe your relatives. So maybe it's people you don't love, but you get together with.
Yeah. Family. Yeah. There's people you love and then there's family, you know, and they're both really important.
Family's overrated.
And you say, pass the turkey and everybody likes each other, at least for a day. We have joining us in the Donalana kitchen, Ursula Rudenberg, station manager of this fine organization through which you are hearing this program.
Well, thank you for inviting me to your kitchen. It's very pleasant here, and it smells delicious. What are you cooking?
Donna, a lot of hot air, cooking? I'm afraid.
we're doing corn today, but it's kind of imaginary corn. Mm. Sometimes we do have food, and we hold it up to the microphone, but not today. We're just kind of talking. So what sort of information do you have for us today, Ursula?
Well, we are in our membership drive currently. Our end-of-the-year membership drive. This is the big one. This is the one that pays the bills for a lot of the year. And we need about $40,000 by January during this fundraising time.
So they can give us Christmas presents, too, right?
Absolutely. Okay. We love Christmas presents.
End of the year, when you figure out it's tax time and you want to get rid
of
something.
Please think of us.
Oh, yes.
Please think of us.
We're a good place to put that.
So we need about $40,000, and right now we have $21,734.
Oh, so yippee!
We're pushing towards $22,000. So we're on the downhill side of the mountain, which is good. It's a good feeling to have that. What's a bad feeling is that nobody has donated today. We didn't get any letters in the mail. We didn't get any phone calls. And we didn't get
any online donations. Come on.
So this would be an excellent time to turn that around during the Donalana Kitchen Show. I know that you have fans.
People have stopped me on the street, people I do not know, and said, I listen to that Donalana or Lana Donna show, as the case may be, and they say they enjoy it. And so
somebody asked me the other day, are Donna and Lana drunk when they do the show?
Somebody said that?
Yes, and I said, no, that would be illegal. They're that way naturally.
We're just that way naturally.
It's because you guys laugh so much.
We can be a little non-Iowa sometime. No, but that's, I come from Wisconsin, and people
and
laugh.
And I'm from
that's
Illinois. That's what you do in the kitchen.
You laugh,
yeah,
right?
Let the sunshine come in. Support this show and all the other local programming and national programming.
Stop by and have a drink with us.
The coffee pot is on, folks. You bet.
So yes, you can do that. We're at 410 Douglas, and so we are a storefront, so you can just walk right in. And we love that the best, because then we can look in the eye and say, oh, thank you. And we always do that because we're so grateful.
We can know that people are listening. Actually.
Absolutely.
That helps a whole lot, because although Don and I can chat here for days, it's really nice to get feedback. And feedback in the form of memberships right now would be really, really nice.
It would be really nice. And in fact, you know, our studio, if you've ever been in our studio, we showcase our studio with a big window, which looks right out into the storefront. So if you come by to make a donation, you can sit and gawk at these two characters.
We'll wave.
It's a vision to behold. And you can...
That's the thing about radio. You can't really see us.
No, you can't. But you can. If you come to the storefront, you will see us, because everything is very easy to see around here. So again,
that makes us transparent, right?
Transparent.
That is a good thing to be these days.
That wall is transparent.
Yes.
And that is what community radio is. It's mass media without a wall between what the media is and what you are as the person, as a member of this community.
That's Lana and I don't have any boundaries here.
Well, the FCC disagrees, but other than that, you know, you're right. In community radio, when you're a radio DJ or you're a radio host, let me tell you, you are censored. People tell you what to say on the air. They tell you what to play on the air. That is how radio is these days. In community radio,
especially because of sponsors.
Because of sponsors?
Yes.
That's right. Because
the moneyed
it's money driven.
Right.
It serves the sponsorship. In community radio, we, on principle, do not ask people what they're going to say on the air. We do shake our finger at them and saying there are certain words you can't say on the air, and there's certain things you can't do, like raise money for yourself or, you know, endorse political candidates.
Nothing illegal.
Right. Well,
immoral.
You can't sell stolen. You can't sell hot merchandise.
Oh, shucks.
But
and we can't be immoral. That's a big thing these
days. Well, yes, we do have a mission statement. We do not allow you to espouse prejudice or violence on the air.
No sexual harassment.
No sexual harassment. So far, that has not happened at KHOI, thank God. No scandals here.
We're transparent, right?
We're transparent. We're nice people.
What you see is what you get.
Yes, we're nice people. So, but beyond that, have I ever asked you what you're going to say when you come on the radio?
No, and most of the time we don't know what we're going to say. Anyway, so.
Have you asked yourselves what you're going to say?
Oh, yeah. We do plan. We do.
Okay.
We do. We have topics.
I know you plan.
We do our research. And we do, on our research, we try to cite. I mean, it's journalism.
It is.
And,
oh, absolutely.
And there are things you have to do. I mean, we're not making this stuff up.
I know. We're joking around. But the truth is, you know, I see these ladies come in and work. They come in before the show and they plan the show. And afterwards, I see them afterwards doing follow-up work. So, no, this is actually a very serious effort. And it is an example of the kind of I don't know what you call it. It's genius in a way. The genius
that
where you give, you know, you create media where you ask people to be themselves and to share with the world this particular inspiration and understanding they have as human being. And that is actually why the founder of community radio, Lou Hill, created community radio. That he even wrote a thesis paper on that particular subject. That's why he created this type of media, because he believed that great ideas and great information came through individuals, and you had to give people a place to express them. And so that is what we are here, and that is what we want you to support. We really need you to support this, because in fact there is no government agency, there is no big corporate interest that wants to pay for independent community media. It is something that our culture does not have an official place for. And so, you know, like many other things, like Food at First, like many other great institutions and aims, it only exists because the people in this community want to have it and want it for themselves. And we hope that you feel this way. I mean, food is a universal cultural language, and so it's very, very important for us to have a food show on KHOI. It's a connection to humanity, and we are so honored to have both of you. You guys are brilliant. I mean, you guys are so good on the air. I mean, sometimes I just sit there and just, like, laugh my head off at,
well, that,
you know, how you present
things.
That
is the idea, because, you know, it's important what we eat, and especially in Iowa, agriculture is a big business here. And to understand actually the seriousness of it and the implications, even if you're not a farmer, what happens to everyone who lives in Iowa? We do breathe this air. This is our soil. This is our water. And we all eat. Everyone eats. So Lana and I try to bring a lot of information and put it in a package that's funny, that's accessible. I mean, the research around food issues has gotten so, so, so complex. And one of the reasons Lana and I are good at sorting through this is because both of us, as farmers, as chefs, we've been following these stories for more than 30 years. We know who said what when, where the research was, what's in the food, how it's being manufactured, who the political players are. And we try to distill this for our listeners to make it less complicated and to make it funny and encouraging.
And I love that you bring that understanding and knowledge to that. I love that connection.
Right. We're not making this stuff up, folks.
No, and you're connecting us to bigger topics. Like one of the things you said the other day, Donna, that has really made an impression on me is you pointed out how many kitchens exist in churches and organizations that are certified for public use.
Oh, yeah. Ames, the size of Ames is, I don't know, 50,000 people or something. I bet that we have around town between civic organizations and churches, at least 25 certified mm-hmm. kitchens.
And, you know, and all of us have had the experience of being in a church basement and seeing one mm-hmm. of these kitchens standing empty and dark. Mm-hmm. And I have never really known what to think about those spaces. And you gave me a whole new insight into the meaning of what a kitchen like that is and the potential that that empty room represents.
Well, because it's a big community investment. It's expensive to build a kitchen like that, mm-hmm. to maintain it. To keep it, it also has to follow certain public health standards. I mean, I've cooked for a lot of civic organizations in community church kitchens. Mm-hmm. Churches are traditionally very generous about sharing, you know, with like-minded groups community good.
Isn't that a great piece of information that only, you know, a chef would think to pass on? These spaces mm-hmm. are places where things could happen.
And they can be rented for mm-hmm. very nominal amounts usually.
That's amazing. That's amazing to know. And so it's a
good community resource.
Yeah. So these are the type of things that I just love finding out from you and learning that in France they've outlawed plastic, you know, spoons, and that's awesome, you know.
And plastic bags.
And food waste. And so there's so much information that I get in a easy and palatable way from your show. And I just I hope that if you listen to Donna Ilana Kitchen and appreciate this show and appreciate the institution that gives you the technology and the space to do this, that you will support KHOI, and we'd love it if you would support it during the show so that Donna and Lana can walk out of here knowing that
the
somebody
big grin
heard,
on our
heard,
faces.
Yeah, it's a two-way thing. Folks doing these shows, they're not paid to do this. They're doing this out of community spirit, and so when the community responds in ways that you can actually hear and see, it means it really makes a huge difference to those people that put the energy into these shows. So let me tell you how you can donate to KHOI. There are actually people here in the station, so you can call the station if you want to make a pledge at 515-292-2878, 515-292-2878. You can also make a donation online. Some people prefer to do that. And that would be at khoifm.org, khoifm.org. You can make a secure donation there. And, of course, KHOI donations are tax deductible. We're a 501c3 organization. Lana, do you know the number for texting to donate?
Yeah. Texting to donate.
To donate.
We are so with it here.
Right. So do this because you can exercise your little digits. And you can text us at 515-200-7758 and send us your good wishes via a membership.
So I'm like hearing people all over the city whipping out their cell phones, their smartphones. So say the number again.
Oh, here it is.
Slowly.
It is 515-200-7758 to support this fine radio station.
Okay. And again, if you want to call, it's 515-292-2878. The website is khoifm.org. Thank you for donating.
I think you could even mail a check in, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Very good point. You would mail the check to the same place you would come to give your donation in person, and that would be 410 Douglas.
Right here in downtown.
Downtown, which is Ames, Iowa, 50010. 410 Douglas, Ames, Iowa, 50010, KHOI Radio. And thank you. Thank you so much for supporting KHOI.
Yes. And Lon and I want to thank KHOI for giving us this platform. And Evan
who would have thought?
Is our wonderful engineer. And we have it's a gorgeous studio. It's quite nice, quite more than adequate. Thank you.
Yes. You are listening to KHOI. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. This is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. We are back. That was a little bit of a tune called The Rodeo Clown Rag by a fine musician, written by Larry Unger. Yes, it was The Rodeo Clown Rag. We're talking about corn today. Besides talking about this fine radio station, we're talking corn. So let's talk a few more corn recipes with the holidays coming up. Everybody has an opinion on stuffing and or dressing. I always thought that stuffing was what you stuffed in the bird and dressing was all the stuff on, in a little pan next to it because I can never get enough. I love stuffing and dressing
right,
and gravy.
Right, that cavity is not big enough.
It isn't.
Even if you have a really big turkey.
Nope. And a lot of voracious relatives. You got to have more, so I always make extra. So, talk about corn.
Well, a popular stuffing, of course, is cornbread, which is my favorite, actually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I make the cornbread a couple of days in advance so it gets kind of dried out, you know, so you can sog it up for the for the stuffing. So my cornbread recipe is actually comes from also The Joy of Cooking. Of course, I make a few little additions, but I like to cook it in the skillet. So you put some lard or bacon drippings or butter, you know, you get the skillet really hot, and then you pour in, I'll just quickly go through this. This is in The Joy of Cooking. It's called cornbread muffins or sticks. So it's 2/3 cup of all-purpose flour. I do use whole wheat pastry flour. 2½ teaspoons of double-acting baking powder. They put a little sugar in. I think it's a good idea. 2 tablespoons of sugar. 3/4 teaspoons of salt, and then 1¼ cup of yellow or white stone ground cornmeal. I use the Earl's Early Morning Harvest as well as his flour. Then in a separate bowl, you have an egg, 2 tablespoons of butter or drippings, and 1 cup of milk. You can also use buttermilk for that. And then you kind of mix the wet things together and the dry things together. Now, what I add to the recipe that is not in The Joy of Cooking is dried coriander seed, you know, a powder, maybe in this size I would add at least a tablespoon.
Oh, that's a lot.
A good amount. And the same thing with dried marjoram. I put it in my hand and kind of rub my fingers, you know, my palms together and drop that in because that releases all the oil. So I would add like 1 tablespoon of coriander and 1 tablespoon of marjoram. I think that really picks up those savory flavors really nicely.
Oh, especially
nicely.
If this cornbread is destined to put inside a turkey.
Absolutely.
There
and
you go.
Some black pepper, I think is a good idea too. Yeah. So then you just mix the wet ingredients and the dry ingredients, throw them into the sizzling skillet, put it in the oven and cook it till it's done.
Make sure that skillet is sizzling. It's almost really
scary.
Gives
it a nice crust.
It's scary, but you can do it. Stand there with your pot holder and be careful, but you can do it. Now, the marjoram and the coriander would add to the dressing very nicely. So when you're making the dressing, do you add sage too? I mean, sage is kind of traditional.
Oh, yeah, or rosemary. Uh-huh. I mean, you know that. We're doing the Thanksgiving show next week, Lana.
We will cover
this stuff in further further depth.
Okay.
Because the dressing really is, it's a very individualistic, you know, everybody could have a completely different dressing.
Right.
There's so many options.
Right.
Speaking of different dressing, this also comes from The Story of Corn by Betty Fussell. I'm going to quote directly. This is the turkey stuffing. She says, Texas Junior Leaguers, Junior League, you know, makers of cookbooks over many years, cannot roast a turkey without it. You fill the cavity with popcorn kernels.
Kernels.
Yes. And then you seal it. She doesn't say how, but, I suppose you just stitch it shut or something. So they put popcorn kernels in it. You seal it and bake it until the turkey blows its ass off.
Oh, Donna.
Direct quote. Sorry.
That was exactly what it was. That's exactly what it said. So the popcorn pops inside of the turkey? Now that'd be worth just trying
once. I thought maybe I might try it on a chicken sometime just to see.
Now, you
it blows its ass off. Oh boy, those Texans! What are you going to do?
and Mr. FCC person listening, that is not on your list.
Yes,
so we can
checked
say
to
that.
Say that was okay, and it was a direct quote.
It was
from a well-publicized and award-winning book.
Yes. Well. Cookbooks can get kind of nitty-gritty anyway. We know they can. We're
well, especially
tooth and
those
claw.
Texans, right?
Popcorn inside your I love that. Okay. Oh, here's another thing about cornbread. I've been having a good time. I don't do a lot of this, but I've grown different kinds of corn over the years, and I don't grow a lot of corn. Too many raccoons and too many deer. But,
yeah, and plus you have to plant quite a bit of it, right?
Because,
how much do you have to plant to get it to germinate in, like, I don't know, 20 feet, 40 feet?
Yeah.
What do you have to do?
Yeah, kind of a little, like a little rectangle, you know.
Right, you can't have, like, two corn plants. It doesn't
work.
No.
20 feet by 10 feet and a couple rows.
Okay.
There you go. But I have, in the past, I have grown red corn. Yeah, I think it's called Red Inca.
Didn't we get that from Gary Guthrie?
Yeah, from Gary Guthrie.
We did.
It is a red flower corn. There's certain corns that are made for flour. And there I ended up with these ears of red corn. Shuck it off there. It takes a little while. You end up with a bowl full. Now what? Well, Donna has this really neat corn grinder, and I've been using it to cook with. It's nice.
I'm wondering how old it is. It's painted John Deere green, and it has a wheel on it that's, what do you think, 2.5 mm-hmm. feet across? So that's the grinder thing, and you can adjust it. So it's a box up, sitting up. It takes up about a square yard in my kitchen, mm-hmm. really. It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I don't use it that often, but I leave it in the kitchen just because I collect anything old that's culinary that we'll probably never see in our lifetime again.
And it's useful.
So on one side of it, it actually has the, you stick the cob and it separates the kernels from the cob and spits the cob out and drops the kernels into a little box. Then you take the kernels and you put them in the grinder thing. And this is where we've ground the corn for Lana. And you made cornbread out of it?
Cornbread. And I just made some muffins this week. Now, the red corn is not, by the time it gets into muffins, and again, the proportion is very similar to what Donna read earlier from The Joy of Cooking, it is not really super red, but there's these little flecks of maroon in there.
Uh-huh.
I've also tried it with blue corn, but this red corn, actually, it's very tasty.
It was tasty.
It's very tasty.
I have to tell you that I did try, and I've almost forgotten about it because it was not my best experiment, but I did try nixtamalizing that red corn.
Oh.
Yep. I said it. I have two old sinks in my kitchen. So one of them I devoted completely to this. And I soaked the corn with the slaked lime slaking stuff for days.
Oh.
It just kept going and I kept rinsing. And it eventually sort of worked. But I kind of concluded that maybe the red corn wasn't the right corn to do that. But at least I wanted to see what the process was. It's complicated.
Corn. Amazing things you can do with it. Thank goodness it has been born and bred. It's an American sort of thing. It's all over the world now. And we enjoy our corn. Yes, we do.
And it's something that we should thank our Native Americans for.
Yeah.
It's not like we brought it from Europe.
No. It's like they, well, we probably took it from them.
I suspect we did. Thank you. We're saying thank you now. I know it's a little belated, but thank you to all the native peoples of this beautiful continent for the corn and for everything else.
This is KHOI. This is community radio. You can find out more at khoifm.org. Support this fine community radio station. Welcome back. Welcome to our kitchen table. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We're talking food here, and we're talking corn in particular and some good recipes. We're moving into the holiday seasons. It's the time, like I mentioned before, we get together around a table and think about family and friends and
food,
and
food
and sharing
food.
Things. And I want to mention that supporting this radio station is good. And think of giving a membership as a holiday present to someone you like. Or even if you don't like them. Because if you...
If you're supposed to like them.
Yeah,
if you
right.
have to make a gesture.
If they've listened to the radio station or even they don't listen to the radio station, buy them a membership and...
It's one of those things for people who have everything.
Right. Won't they be surprised? They'll open up that little envelope and what the heck is that? And then you can tell them what KHOI is and you can tell them about the Donalana Kitchen. So do... Donna, tell us more about becoming a member.
Yes, this is Pledge Week, and we're not just asking for your financial support. We're inviting you to become a sustaining member of this community radio station. KHOI depends on its unpaid volunteers, like Lana and I, to produce the shows that you hear. But we also depend on you to provide the financial support to keep the transmitter humming and to pay our operating expenses. I mean, this is a great luxury for Lana and I must say, to be able to do this. And you can share on the ongoing operation of the station by becoming a sustaining member. The basic membership is just $55. That's annual, which is about 15 cents a day. Or you can become a friend of KHOI for $250 a year. That's about $20 a month. And right now, thanks to a $15,000 challenge grant provided by some of our listeners, every dollar you give is worth $2 to the station. Our goal is to sign up 25 new members this fall. 25 people, that's not a big deal, right?
No.
If you are a new member and would like a thank you gift, please stop by the station for a KHOI coffee mug or a T-shirt. How original, coffee mugs and T-shirts.
Holiday gift here, folks. Holiday gift.
Yeah,
huh?
And we do have a cute little logo. So
yeah.
This is a great time to become a member of KHOI. So call us at 515-292-2878 for more information or go to the website. KHOIFM.org and press the donate button or text. Haha. Text us at 515-200-7758. That's 200-7758. Text us. Woohoo!
Boy, we got everything covered there, so support this fine radio station and let us know that you're out there. Yes, KHOI would like to thank the following sponsors of the KHOI 2017 Fall Membership Drive: Morning Bell Coffee Roasters, the Ames Chamber of Commerce, Greater Iowa Credit Union, Mary Greeley Medical Center, Alluvial Brewing Company, and the Mucky Duck Pub.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes for our community.
Yes. Well, we have a few items here from the Donalana Kitchen news desk.
Yes, more about corn.
Well, this first one is not about corn. This is a little segue here. We'll get back to corn. The first news item I want to mention from the Miss Peru beauty pageant. Now, this fits in here somehow.
Peru? They grow a lot of, I believe they gave us some corn.
Corn. There you go. Okay. This year, the contestants in their lovely bathing suits went up to the microphone and decided not just to give their statistics in the same old way.
Which would be their measurements.
Right, right.
Bust, hips, and rear end, right?
Right.
Waist and rear end. Okay.
In a concerted effort, these wonderful women stepped up to the microphone and said, "My measurements are 2,200 cases of murdered women in the last 9 years, and my measurements are 65% of university women were assaulted by their partners." Ooh. And the winner, Romino Lozano, said, "My measurements are 3,114 female victims of trafficking until 2014. So that kind of got people's notice. Yes. This happened in part not only because the women were concerned about violence and... Well, there's a lot of that in the news now, but
it's about time.
But this happened at the Miss Peru beauty pageant because the organizer is a former winner. She knows of what she speaks. She not only okayed this, they did a lot to support this. And she said, Miss Peru must be the ambassador of ordinary women, she said, of all women who have no voice. And she also defended the protest in all its dissonance, including the bathing suits, by saying, women should be respected, she said, no matter what, if anything, they wear. So there you go.
All right.
Here's the next news item. This is a little closer to home, and yes, this does have to do with corn. Just east of our fine community, the DuPont organization over the past few years has built a ethanol plant, making fuel, and they're using corn stover, which is not
yeah,
the
yeah,
corn.
Yeah, they spent $225 million.
Okay,
this is not a small deal.
Yeah,
in
so
our
they
community,
so they
right?
built this thing, and they started collecting all this stover, which is all the parts that is not
yeah,
the corn here.
Right, the stover, which is the stalks and the other bits that humans don't eat, and
and they were making ethanol out of this. But things are changing here. They decided they're not going to continue. They are seeking to sell the plant and shut it down.
They don't want it anymore. After what? 2, 3, maybe 4 years at the most? I don't know.
Okay. All refinery operations have been immediately closed, okay? About 90 people were employed full-time. And plus, there have been a lot of farmers involved in this, too,
yeah,
growing.
Yeah, 225 farmers in central Iowa. They harvested the stover in 2013, and the plant didn't, so it opened in the fall of 2015. That's 2 years, and they're closing it already.
So times, they are changing. Can you say climate change? Can you say getting rid of ways of using carbon-based fuel here
well,
into
the,
something
the
better?
The weird thing is, you see these big piles of black building-sized piles in fields around, and that is stored corn stover, which is apparently quite flammable.
Ooh.
We got some problems here, folks.
All right. But anyway, goodbye to the new DuPont plant.
We wonder what it will incarnate as next.
Next. Today.
Stay tuned.
We talked about corn on the Donalana Kitchen. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We've had music by the band Notorious. Oh, yes, Notorious. We'll go out with their tune called Whiplash and Greasy Coat. Thanks for joining us today. This is Community Radio. Thanks for your support. Remember, support this station. We are all in this together. Think of those holiday gifts for those people that you just don't know what to get anything for. Yes. Thanks for joining us on the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had great engineering by Evan Taylor. Eat good food and enjoy life.